Now, the rest of the story. For John Wilkes Booth, there was really nothing extraordinary about the morning of April 14, 1865. He awakened in his Washington hotel room shortly before 10 o'clock. He had a leisurely breakfast in the hotel dining room. He went to the barber shop and visited the home of a friend. In fact, the noon hour was fast approaching. As he strolled by Ford's Theater to pick up his mail and to learn quite coincidentally that the performance that evening would be attended by the President of the United States. That was the first he knew about it. And it was then that John Wilkes Booth felt the hand of fate on his shoulder. His opportunity to avenge the fallen South had arrived. But he would have only hours to plan the perfect crime. John Wilkes Booth was going to kill the President of the United States. The preparation for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln was burdened by one overwhelming consideration, the assassin's successful escape. Because John Booth was no self-styled martyr. He was a show-off. He was an actor. He wanted to live to hear the applause and at a safe distance. Not surprisingly then, the first place he went was a livery stable for the careful selection of a strong, fast getaway horse. Subsequently, he focused his attention on the evening's chronology. From every vantage point, he envisioned his victim sitting in the presidential box. In his mind, he planned everything. Booth contemplated his weapons, a derringer loaded with an especially handmade skull-crushing ball, and a knife with which he might defend his escape. No one must hear the gunshot, so it must be precisely timed to allow coincidental audience reaction, one of uproarious laughter followed by thunderous applause, and there was one line in the play that night which could be depended upon to evoke such a response, a line in the second scene of the third act. The president would literally die laughing. And that left only a leap from the box to the stage. It was a 12-foot jump. But for John Booth, often described by critics as the gymnast actor, the vault would pose no problem. His horse would be waiting for him in the alley outside the theater. He would be dressed for the long ride south and to safety. Steel spurs and all. In no time, he'd be out of the country. The perfect crime. Yet something was waiting for John Wilkes Booth to trip him up. Something he had failed to envision in his painstaking planning for the assassination. And his failure to predict the intervention of this one silent foe ultimately cost the assassin his own life. History records that what Booth had foreseen as a deft and dramatic descent from the presidential box to the Ford's Theater stage, the grand and graceful leap for which Booth had prepared, became instead, in reality, that night, a clumsy fall, a stumbling, literal, figurative downfall, resulting in Booth's broken leg. John Wilkes Booth rode south with a jagged bone jabbing into the flesh of his left leg, and now he could never, ever travel far enough, fast enough to escape justice. Because what was intended to be a graceful leap onto the stage became a hurtful fall. When the American flag draping the presidential box had snagged his spur. And now you know the rest of the story.